The College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Negandhi.
Welcome to the College Football Podcast. David Pollock and Kevin Negandhi with you. Coming up in a few minutes after we talk to David, we break down our picks as well as his due to the week and the recent news, of course, surrounding COVID and what we're seeing with these postponements in the SEC. Joey Galloway will join us. And Joey and I have fun with each other every single time we talk, whether it's on SportsCenter or just, you know, in the hallway. We just always have fun. And you'll get a piece of that. As we have tried for a year and a half to get him on the show, and he keeps blowing us off. And Joey will tell you a different story, but that's part of the fun. And Joey also is going to share his thoughts about Justin Fields. And when you get past the numbers, what he sees from the young man and how he can improve and what you should be watching for when you watch him on Saturdays outside of, you know, his completion percentage that will translate to impressing NFL scouts. Also, Joey's going to share his thoughts on Cincinnati and why he has him ranked so high compared to a lot of other analysts, as well as how he views the playoff schedule moving forward if they need to push it back. In the meantime, let's start with David Pollock, and let's start with the breaking news, of course, surrounding the SEC.
Week 11. And it again, in the craziest football season we will, I think, ever experience, certain moments it does feel like week 11, certain moments it doesn't feel like week 11, but there's one thing consistent: COVID 19 wreaking havoc to the schedule. The SEC yesterday making big news, calling off number one Alabama and LSU, their game, as well as Texas A&M and Tennessee, due to the depleted available rosters for LSU and Texas A&M. And this comes off the decision on Monday with Auburn, Mississippi State, having similar issues with positive tests and contact tracing. So right now, all three games have been, you know, ruled as postponements, no cancellations. There have been no cancellations in the SEC, but you're going to have to look at potentially LSU doesn't have space to move a game until December 19th, and well, potentially December 19th could be a game where Alabama is already playing, and that is in the SEC championship game. With all of that, with all that news, I want to get, David, your first thoughts on what's going on in the SEC. It's going to go on, and it's going to continue in every conference, but this specific week to have already three games off the schedule.
I think we're going to see more of this, Kevin. I think now when you have teams that are out of the mix, you know, for the national championship picture, I think, you know, when you have something to fight for, Kevin, you're willing to stay in your apartment, right? Like, you're willing to chill and kind of be on the down low. And I'll be interested to watch this, man, because now teams that are out of it, like, listen, I don't want to quarantine anymore. You know, I don't want to sit by myself anymore. I want to go to parties. I want to go be a part of college life. So I think it's going to be something that's going to be very interesting to monitor. It's going to still be a part of what we're in, right? Because the Pac-12 is just getting introduced, and you know, Wisconsin's just being welcomed back to the Big Ten and playing football. So it's not going away. If you thought it was going to go away, then rethink, because it's going to be here to stay, and it's going to continue to happen week after week. And I think we have to watch now teams that are out of the mix that had, you know, playoff aspirations, to see if they can keep it together and not have it go off the rails for a couple of weeks with this COVID stuff, because kids start to lose focus and lose what's important.
And then what do you have? You have a domino effect, not just affecting your team, affecting opponents that lose games, and the ability to provide data points for, I think, the committee on what they watch and how they develop, you know, an impression on the season. But let's face it here. As of right now, Alabama, Ohio State, whatever happens with Clemson, Notre Dame, we'll get more information down the road in the ACC championship game, maybe next month if everything goes to plan with both those teams. The question will be, who's that fourth team? Where's Florida in the conversation? With all of that, I mean, and I'm not dismissing the Pac-12 here too, because USC and Oregon, and do they have enough games under their belt?
You just dismissed them.
No. Do they have enough games? Do they have enough games under their belt in the conversation? And with that in mind, do you think they should consider pushing, the committee should push the playoff back?
I actually said that last night on the show, on the ranking show. Why not, man? And I know it's protecting certain dates and stuff like that, Kevin, but I don't, this isn't the year to protect dates. You know, like this isn't the, this is the year to make sure that we have, we can do this safely and get it done. And so, yeah, I think pushing it back would make a ton of sense. But I don't think it's, I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, the Pac-12, to answer your question about that, there's, you know, USC was pretty sloppy and found a way to win. Arizona State, I thought was better and found a way to lose. Oregon looked really, really good. How good is Stanford? I think there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered about the Pac-12, but here's the Pac-12. I think they're fighting a battle against UC and BYU to even be relevant in this mix. And by the way, I think it's a fair fight. I think both of those teams have a really big, a good gripe to say that we've played a whole season. We've done this and we've looked good doing it, by the way. So, and if they continue to look good doing it and continue to improve and build upon what they've done so far, you know, the Pac-12 just has to, somebody has to emerge, you know, two teams preferably have to emerge and play great and face each other in the Pac-12 championship game and have a showdown. You know, I think that's the, what the Pac-12 needs.
I brought this up with Herbie on Monday, and I want to get your thoughts. How much do you think, you know, the schedule works against BYU, considering they're 8-0 and they have literally two games left? One more game the rest of this month and one game in December where it's out of sight, out of mind. Do you think that could play a role here?
Yes, I do. And I also have heard that BYU is looking for games. So I think that'll be interesting to pay attention to. What if they can schedule a game or two more? Maybe it's a really good team, Kev. You know, like that could be something to monitor, but 100% out of sight, out of mind. And what if Cincinnati continues to play, you know, a pretty good schedule to finish and then a pretty good team in the AAC and, or in the Americans for the championship. And they continue to look good and dominant. Like, of course it's going to be in the mind, in our thoughts and our thought process in our mind. It's going to, we're humans, right? That's going to be a part of it.
Yeah. And honestly, I understand that college football is about tradition. It's about rivalries and storied pasts and watching them play out. But in this year where everything is just chaos and let's just get the games in, that's all I'm worried about is getting the games in. And let's just watch everybody play as much as possible because we may not see that. So I know there's concern about the idea of, hey, LSU – Alabama may not play this year. It's okay. And it'll be the first time since the 60s. It's okay. Let's just get as many games as possible in and figure this out. Now, with that in mind, do you think the SEC losing some games could benefit other conferences, like, for example, a Wisconsin that has only one game on the schedule right now, and the idea that Wisconsin may only play five games and that the committee has to make a decision if they're like a 5-0 team and they get the chance to play in the Big Ten championship? Do you think that there should be a limit on how many games should be played before they're determined to see if they could be considered for the playoff?
I don't. I don't think there should be a minimum. I think, you know, because everything's going crazy and because of what we live in, I just think it needs to be whatever your body of work is. What if, hey, if Wisconsin comes out here and throttles Michigan and thumps the rest of their schedule and then beats Ohio State, are you going to tell me Wisconsin shouldn't be in it? Like, there ain't no way in Hades, bro. I ain't buying that. So I don't think there should be a minimum. First of all, we should expand this stupid thing. It makes the most sense in the history of the world to expand it. And I'm going to continue to beat that drum, even though nobody's going to listen.
I'm with you. I'm listening. I'm with you. I support you.
I don't understand why we wouldn't in this kind of a season, in this kind of a year, when you're not, this is not apples to apples. This is not even close to apples to apples. Like, this is insane how many moving parts and different things. And it's hard enough usually from conference to conference, but then what do we have? We have out of conference games that are great. And then we have a whole body of work and to kind of make that judgment. Now you got none of that. So I think it's, But we're going to have to use our eyeballs and we're going to have to say, listen, they might have only played six games, but I got to give it to them. They look good and they look dominant in all six games. USC, they came out the gates rocky and had four turnovers and found a way to get lucky against Arizona State and win the ball game. But now look at them the rest of the way. They looked really, really good and looked great. By the way, how does Florida look down the stretch? How does A&M look down the stretch? Like, I'm not as worried about right now. I want to know the games as we play and as we get closer to the end, which again might hurt BYU to your point, but how are you playing? Are you playing complimentary football on both sides, or do you have big time weaknesses? What have you done? Who have you beaten this season of importance? And I used to consider big time going on the road, by the way, Kevin. Going on the road to me is the hardest thing in college football. I don't think that's the case this year. So all these factors all have to go into it and be a mix and ingredient. And then we got to make a pie at the end of the season that's sliced into four pieces, you know?
Please, if they could just go to eight teams, just how much fun would it be? And they've got to consider another thing. They've got to consider this concept of a bubble when they get to a playoff conversation. You know, I'm concerned on a couple of levels here, because let's just say, too, you need a little buffer here. If we have a scenario where a star, like we're experiencing right now, a star tests positive in the second week of December, and then they're not available to potentially play in a championship game, or they're not available if after a championship game that they can play in a playoff, like there's a lot of layers here on this time frame, right?
By the way, is Clemson in the best shape now because they don't have to worry about Mac Jones, or they don't have to worry about like Alabama with Mac Jones and Justin Fields, right? Like they've already been through it. Trevor's been through, you know, are they in a good position now? Ian Book maybe not been through it. Like, are they in a good position now to be in better shape because Trevor's not going to get it again in December? You know, like I think that goes to your point. Yeah, I mean, it's just towards the end, but when does that bubble start? You know, I would think it would have to start as soon as you got to the playoffs, because you can't extend this thing, you know, too far because of just the logistics of it and how much it would go into it. But once we get down to the Final Four, why not? Why can't we make that kind of exist? Because it already does anyways, Kevin, when you go to Arizona for the Fiesta Bowl, right? You go out there for a week beforehand or 2 weeks beforehand, you get out there and you kind of get your own acclimation. And just like when you do the Rose Bowl, you get acclimated to the time zone. You're out there for at least, you know, 7 days leading up to it.
And there's another factor here, too. How are the conferences going to handle protocol? Because we've seen each conference has different protocol. So the Big Ten has 21 days. The ACC, yeah, we've seen 10 to 14 days. The SEC, different. Like, how do they handle protocol if they're facing off against each other in a semifinal or a national championship?
Can you say that word again, please? How do they handle what?
Protocol.
Protocol. Okay, yeah. I've never heard that before. I like that.
I've never heard of
protocol. It's interesting. I like the way you say that. I like that.
That's my accent.
That's nice. But here's the thing, Kev. They can't deviate from who they are and what they are during the season, can they? I mean, we can't just change the rules now and make it up like, oh, we're, you know what, the Big Ten, we're gonna change our protocol. You know, we're gonna change that before the playoffs. So I don't think they can change it. I think every league has to stick to what they've stuck with throughout the season.
But they've got to keep that in mind once we get into the playoff. Like, now we've got to figure it out, because you do not have those 21 days, right? You do not have the window. I mean, in previous years, you could wait 35 days that we've seen, right? You can't do that this year with the playoff announcement pushed back and these championship games now scheduled at least the weekend of the 18th and 19th. Listen, I get the tradition. There's nothing better where you could have a big event surrounding college football on January 1st. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than waking up on New Year, and let's just watch a whole bunch of bowl games, right?
Except for a couple years ago, we had to do it because they were stupid and did the playoff not on New Year's Day, but that's beside the point.
Yes, that's beside the point. I'm saying this year, they've got to keep all this stuff in mind, and I hope that they're willing to adjust and – you know, stay flexible, because, again, the situation is fluid. All right, let's just get to it. Who's your dude of the week?
Okay, dude of the week this week. By the way, I think it's going to be a good game this week, too. I think it's going to be a competitive game. But I'm going Nick Cross from Maryland. Nobody in the world probably knows who he is. He plays safety for Maryland. He was actually a pretty highly recruited kid, but the dude was all over the field. And I watched Maryland's game against Penn State, and I went back and watched it again, too, just to watch more about what they were doing and what Talia was doing on the offensive side of the football. But he had 8 tackles, 1 for a loss, 1 sack, 2 pass breakups, a forced fumble, and an INT. So Nick Cross was all over the field. And Maryland was all over the field, and Maryland's offense was awesome, too. But Nick Cross was a dude. He was a dude that stuck out all week.
How about that? Taylor right now. I listen. Taylor, are you beaming? Taylor, jump on in. Are you beaming?
Oh, my God. How unexpected, David. I'm surprised, shocked, elated. This is great stuff. He was awesome. Glad you can recognize. Real, recognize real.
Hey,
he's so happy.
I'm always going to be that. You know that. That's one thing that's always going to come to fruition. But I tell you what, dude, I was excited studying Maryland. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm excited to see their offense versus Ohio State this week, because their offense it's good. It's really this. By the way, this might be the next best offense in the Big Ten.
Ooh.
I want you to think about that. Like, who is Ohio State going to play that has an offensive pulse? Like, just go down the Big Ten rosters. It's not good. It's no bueno. It's very bad. But Tagovailoa he's just like his brother.
Talia. Yep.
Yeah, he's a little bit smaller. Locks is doing a great job in giving him one read, one key on one side of the field. You know, make a decision. You know, one decision, two decision, boom, take off with your feet. Good athlete, by the way. And I know Taylor does too, but I love the Jake Funk kid. Like, you think you watch white boy running backs and you're like, oh, they can't make big plays. You know, this guy's gonna get 4 or 5 yards. Well, dude had 210 a couple weeks ago, had like 21 carries for 210. So he's number 34, toting the rock back in the backfield. They got a couple of receivers, Jarrett, that works the middle of the field, that's, you know, a big-time playmaker after the catch. And I think this offense is going to be really good. I would be shocked if they don't get 28 against Ohio State.
What a turnaround after scoring 3 points in the opener, and what Lox has done and that offense. And Tagovailoa just makes plays. You could see the confidence grow as the game continued in that Minnesota comeback, and then what they did in Happy Valley. And shout out to Maryland social media team with the football program where they did Sad Valley afterwards. I was like, ooh, man, they are bringing it. They are enjoying all that they can. We'll see what they tweet out
that,
against,
dude.
Ohio
they should
State.
Do that, by the way. Why?
I love that. Yeah, I agree. I do agree. It's fun. It's fun.
By the way, it just shows you too, by the way, it shows you why every year across the NFL, you're like, where did this Johnson guy come from for the Steelers? Where did so-and-so come from? Because when you have an actual quarterback now, obviously, Tagovailoa comes in. Now, look at the offense. Oh, Funk's really good. Oh, Jarrett's really good. Like, all these playmakers, it just shows you how important a quarterback is, man. Everything settles into place, and now, actually, we can go play football and be productive.
Okay, so it sounds like your game of the week is Ohio State, Maryland. We'll keep an eye on that.
You're welcome.
But when we go to these picks, I mean, there's some bad, bad games on this schedule. We don't
not
have a
good.
Top 25 matchup.
Not good ones.
But when we say these matchup, these games, these spreads are fantastic for us, because I think it's going to be one of those chaos kind of weekends. And before we get to them, hey, Taylor, can you give us an update on how we did in our picks this week?
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to. Let me just pull up my notes.
By the way, I think Georgia game is looking like it's going to be canceled as well, by the way. If that's one that's going to be in the mix.
What a nightmare for the SEC.
That doesn't look good either. You nailed it last week, Kev. You had a good week.
Hey, I like that. Good job. You can get lucky every now and then.
David went 2-4, and Kevin, you went 3-3. But Kevin, you nailed the upset special. And got the ended up plus +3 on the week. So you're in the positive. You're plus +1 on the season, while David is plus +11. So still a little bit of a gap there. But Kevin, probably your best week yet. Proud of you, man.
Yeah, it was. And let
a
me
little
tell
bit
you,
of a gap. That's cavernous, by the way.
Let me tell you, if Arizona State played any type of defense on those two fourth downs, we're talking about a different story. Oh, they broke
my
heart.
Do we want to go through the whole college football season and do that?
No. I'm just going to do one more thing. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's go. Iowa laying 3.5 at Minnesota. Who you got?
Minnesota. Okay, Iowa showed up for the football season this past week. Did you see that?
Michigan State feeling the hangover, and then bow, they got punched in the face.
They decided to play. Listen, what I know about Minnesota is they're not very good. They're not very good defensively. They're actually really bad. They made Michigan's offense look really, really good. So I imagine Iowa's offense is going to look good. I'll take the Hawkeyes just because Minnesota's not doing real well right now.
I don't trust Minnesota stunner, right? And how
should
apart. Yeah. I'm going with Iowa as well. Here's a good one. West Virginia laying 3 hosting TCU. I'm going with West Virginia.
I'm going with West Virginia too. The Stills brothers inside, you know, by the way, you talk about another game that was really close, that back of the end zone catch for West Virginia that, you know, it could have been a touchdown. It could have not have been a touchdown and they could have, you know, could have easily beaten Texas or, you know, right there at the end. So those go against you or with you. But I do think West Virginia's, by the way, Neil Brown's done a heck of a job, man. That team's night and day from where it was a year ago. So I'll take West Virginia as well.
100%. He's done a great job. And that was pass interference at the end of the game. With 4 minutes to go? West Virginia got robbed. How about this game? The winless bowl. Who would have thought? Penn State laying 3 at Nebraska.
Dude, Penn State's bad. Yeah. I mean, I'm so disappointed in them. Like, and you know what? Clifford's just not there yet. He's not. But that being said, like, what is Nebraska? I mean, Nebraska's not very explosive, and their quarterback issues are the same. I trust Penn State's playmakers maybe a little bit more in defensive personnel, so I'll go Penn State, but it's not like I feel great about it.
Yeah, I don't feel good about any of that. So I'm going to actually take Nebraska.
Good for you.
Just because they're home. That's a game you don't feel comfortable with at all. How about this one? Wisconsin laying 4.5, their first game in 3 weeks at Michigan.
Michigan, I tell you what, going back and watching Michigan, man, Kevin, they jumped off sides 5 times in the first half on defense. 5 times. By the way, two of them resulted directly in touchdowns. Literally, just I'm throwing the ball up. Penix Jr. is like, I'm throwing the ball up, and we're going to go get it. And they did. It resulted in, you know, 20-plus yard touchdown passes. It just their offensive line is still a struggle bus. They're not. I mean, they had 18. I think they had 18 yards on 13 carries. It's not good, man. I know Wisconsin can be physical and stop the run, and I don't know if Graham Mertz is going to play. We think so. We're pretty positive, actually, he's going to play, or pretty optimistic. But he looked so good that opener that I trust them and the offense, even though they've had 20-plus days off.
Yeah, I'm going with Wisconsin just because I have no idea who's going to show up with Michigan. I literally have no idea. They can't run the football, which is stunning.
They can cover really well, though.
SMU at Tulsa. Tulsa is laying 2.5.
Who you got?
Man, Tulsa's been playing well. I'm going with SMU.
Man, Tulsa's been playing well. I'm going with SMU. Okay. All right. All right.
Well,
whatever. I'll go Tulsa then.
Okay. All right. Whatever. All right. We'll close it out here on this last one because there's a bunch of man. There are so many games. Georgia, Missouri, postponed.
Yep.
Postponed. So the SEC, not a good week. Northwestern undefeated at Purdue, undefeated. Northwestern laying 3.
I'm going to continue to ride the Northwestern bandwagon. I've been riding it hard. I've picked them every week. I think they're going to continue to win. And I like Ramsey, man. I like Peyton Ramsey at the quarterback spot. It's not a – listen, don't get it twisted, bro. This is not an explosive offense. But they're explosive enough, and they roll the pocket a little bit. They dink and dunk, and he can scramble. And I just love Northwestern having a guy back there that they can trust that's got a little something to him. So I'll take Northwestern.
Okay, we'll wrap it up here. You got an upset here?
I got mine already picked this week, actually.
Go ahead.
I got Colorado. I like
– Ooh, Colorado.
Yeah, they're getting, I think, 6.5 or 7.
Yes.
You have the line, actually?
I think it was 7.5. Let me just confirm. Taylor,
is it 7.5? Something like that versus Stanford. I don't believe in Stanford at all. Or two in contact tracing, whatever it is. But, you know, Tune missed 4 field goals last week, so they had more opportunities. But I just – Colorado, they did all right last week, man. I tell you what, I was okay with watching. You wondered how it would be without Mel Tucker, you know, and what that would look like. But watching them last week and watching especially the running game – You know, they let Broussard rush for almost 200 yards and three touchdowns, and then Neuer looked okay at QB. So, like, I don't know. I don't think Stanford's great. I don't think Colorado's great, but I think Colorado could score points and possibly win.
Yeah, the line is 7. So you got Colorado as your upset special. My upset special, oh, man, I'm going to go with there's an interesting line here. I'm going to go with Miami getting 2.5 points at Virginia Tech.
That's my on-the-road team that's going to lose in the top 10 is Miami, so I like your pick.
Okay, good deal. Brother, have fun at the Masters. Pretty cool weekend for you on Saturday. Enjoy for the entire crew here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Folks, Shizzle, appreciate it, dudes.
Oh, and it's great to have my guy, Joey Galloway, here on the College Football Podcast. This feels like it's been a year and a half in the making, Joey, and appreciate you joining us before a bunch of your bogeys on the golf course. So I want to get your first thoughts here with a simple question. How good is Ohio State this season?
My first thoughts are, I can just imagine how long the list of people are that have been invited on this show before I got a chance to come on this show a year and a half later. But I'm gonna be mature enough to move past that. And I'm going to say Ohio State is definitely one of the top four teams in the country. I think just like Clemson, just like Alabama, just like Notre Dame, there are question marks that we'll have to see if they play out. Run game isn't great. Defense isn't great, but neither is Alabama's defense. Neither is Clemson's defense. So they're one of the four best teams. We just have to see as the season plays out if they can get better in a couple other areas.
I just want to stay above this too and be mature and with Taylor as my proof that I've been working on getting Joey Galloway on this show for over a year and a half. He has ducked and weaved his way out of it. And now he's just coincidentally getting out of any long time conversation with us. So he has to go golf. What a good life that he lives. Joey, you know, you were on the show last night, that top 25 show, and one of the discussions was about should the playoff be pushed? And when I say pushed back a week or two, what are your thoughts on that? Be considering what we're seeing from the SEC this week and that window and very little flexibility for the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to make up on games.
I don't know what that accomplishes. We're just in a time period where the numbers are going up. And this is the kind of thing that is going to happen. We knew it was going to happen when we signed up for this season. And so now we just have to play it out. I don't see the benefit of pushing it back a couple weeks. But, hey, I'm willing to try anything. I just don't know how that changes anything for anybody involved. Like, Alabama missing the game at LSU against LSU this weekend doesn't change anything for Alabama and really doesn't change anything for LSU besides that's another butt whooping they wouldn't have to sit through. But I think when you think 10, when you think Pac-12, those are different because they haven't played many games. But the SEC at this stage could afford to have a game canceled and not be hurt by this.
Do you have a baseline? Like, do you need to see a certain amount of games from the Pac-12 or the Big Ten to form an opinion? Or do you think, hey, I already know this team is good? Like, how do you view potentially, let's just hypothetically say that the Pac-12 gets 5 games in and Oregon's 5-0. How would you view that Oregon team with just 5 games on the resume?
I would say that the Pac-12 needs it way more. And you can say the Big Ten if you want to just be like, correct, like saying things in the correct way just for funsies, but you can say Ohio State. There's not another team there that we would discuss when it comes to how many games we need to see for them to be playoff ready, except maybe a Wisconsin. But, you know, at the end of the day, again, that conversation is Ohio State. And I think through 3 games, I'm not saying that I'm there as far as, yes, they deserve to be in, but I'm very close. Pac-12 has a long way to go to prove that one of their teams may be that good. I don't think that USC got off to a great start, even though they won. they didn't show the things that a team like USC needed to show with all the talent they have coming back, the receivers, the running backs, Keaton Slovis, the quarterback. They just didn't look like a very explosive team. And so the Pac-12 is the team that the conference that needs more games to prove that they may have a team that could get there.
How do you view the schools like BYU and Cincinnati, like when it comes to the playoff conversation?
I have Cincinnati ranked number five. Nobody else last night on the show had Cincinnati ranked that high. And I always, I would challenge people to actually sit down and watch what they do. Don't look at the record. Don't look at who they played. And this is the same thing that goes for BYU. Same thing I would say for UCF a few years back. If you actually sit down and watch the film and watch what they do, I think Cincinnati, especially from a defensive point, is better than Clemson, better than Ohio State, better than Notre Dame defensively. They're not going to overpower these teams, but I think they do enough things scheme-wise that they will give these teams some problems. Cincinnati's physical. They run the football. Desmond Ritter has to develop more. But I look at those teams and say, you know, if you sit down and watch them on film, they could compete with any one of these teams in the country.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here because I want to get your final thoughts on Justin Fields and the jump he's made from this season compared to last season. Where does it stand out? I can go through all the numbers, but I think people are fully aware the guy's numbers are gaudy in three games. But when you see the tape, what do you see from Justin Fields that's different this year compared to last season?
I don't know that I see much difference besides he's in his second year in the system. And I think he's extremely talented. He's a strong, big, athletic kid. That it seems to be that's what's translating to NFL football nowadays is the ability to leave the pocket, take off running, make plays downfield, you know, with your feet. And Justin Fields absolutely can do that. I would love to see him develop more in the anticipation area, like, you know, as opposed to throwing it to a guy that's open, like, the ability to throw before the guy is open, knowing that he's going to become open. That is the part that makes people succeed at the next level in the NFL. You know, these numbers, like if you complete 90% of your balls against Penn State or 85% of your balls against Rutgers, that doesn't really translate into having success at the next level as much as when you watch the film, your ability to anticipate, your ability to get the ball out on time, those kind of things are what translate. So he's highly talented, has some work to do, but right now when you watch him play, he is absolutely a guy that NFL teams are going to be excited to have.
All right. Hey, buddy, hit him long and straight and make a putt or two, please. Just make one birdie. Hey, that's all we're asking.
So it took me a year and a half to get on the show this time. So I can look at the year 2022. I'll be back. Is that
Joey? This is an open invitation. You can join us every single Wednesday. So let's see how many times you want to join us. I'm giving you an open invite.
That's when you tell your friend, hey man, stop by anytime. You don't really mean that. You just say that. You
Taylor.
Don't really mean it when you
Taylor's
say stop
my
by
producer.
Anytime.
Taylor knows how many times I've said, I'm trying to get Joey. Joey's blowing me off. You keep blowing me off. So we'll have you back on in the next month and let the audience know if you don't come back on, that's on you. How about that?
Hey, Kev, eventually now you have to pay me like as much as you pay like the rest of the guys that you have on. Now, I decided to come for free, but I'm going to need an
opinion. And now you're charging us. We've got no money here. Our budget has nothing. Have fun out there, buddy. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
And, of course, a big thanks to David Pollack and my man Joey Galloway. Always fun. Always fun, no matter what the topic is. Joey will give me the business, and I will counteract and ask about his putting game as it just continues to struggle when he's on the greens. Once again, Taylor Schwenk on the other side. Great job coordinating on a Wednesday with the schedules going all over the place, as well as keeping us honest when it comes to our picks. And Taylor, this may be Taylor's favorite podcast of all the podcasts we tape because of the breakdown of Maryland and the conversation of the Terps. They deserve it right now. Let's hope Saturday would be a great game, at least an entertaining game against Ohio State. Let me tell you, if the Terps do shock the world, Taylor will be running things on Monday with Herb Street and Pollock. We'll see how Lockley and Tagovailoa show up in that game against the Buckeyes. In the meantime, as rates, you know, continue to rise with coronavirus, we ask you to, you know, wear a mask, social distance. We want football, and hopefully we can have it for the next month and a half in a crazy, strange time in 2020. Be safe.